Well, hello, this is Matt, and welcome back to another thrilling episode of Box of Cameras. I hope everyone is doing well, got through the holidays fine and dandy without any real issues or problems. I know I sure did. Always kind of a, you know, bittersweet time for me. I'm one of those people that would just soon not have holidays, but hey, that is me. Anyway, I just want to say I'm back, still alive, and kicking, and getting ready for a new year of film photography, which is great. So, really what I'm going to do is hop right into a couple things here. First off, the season begins with a new year of the Frugal Film Project, a project I participated in last year. Nice group of photographers who get together. We're all an online collective of photographers brought together by Sherry Christensen. And she put out this challenge a year ago for people who wanted to take a year-long challenge of shooting a camera and a film, basically called the Frugal Film Project. We use a camera that's worth less than $50, or that you acquire for less than $50, and we picked out some film, and away we go. And so we did that for a year, and things were great. Great friendship, great group of friends that I've got over there on that group, and decided, you know what, I'm going to do it again this year. So we're changing it up a little bit in that the camera, well, we decided that, you know, one thing we learned after shooting one camera and one film for an entire year is that that gets kind of boring. You know, you see different things in different scenarios, different things that you want to use, want to try out. Hey, this would be great, but, you know, you're kind of limited. So what we're doing this year is that we're going to allow us to, well, first off, we're going to have four different types of film. So I guess we're not going strictly super frugal, but we've selected four different types of film, and we'll change them out quarterly, which then left us up to decide whatever camera that we want to use. And basically, we can use multiple cameras. And so what I've decided I'm going to do is I'm going to pick three very simple, basic box cameras, all old, and all, you know what, I think every single one of them I'm going to choose is older than I am, and I am not young. And I'm going to switch them out every month. And so basically I'll shoot one with 1 month, the next month I'll shoot another, the next month I'll shoot another. And then as we progress throughout the course of the year, I will have shot essentially one of each of our types of film through each camera. But that also allows me to switch it out month to month, and that kind of keeps things fresh and lets me get a new piece of gear that I get to use. And so that's one of the things that I always love, is being able to try out new cameras. Now, oddly enough, none of these cameras I'm going to use are new, to me anyways. I've had all of them for many years, but really what I wanted to try to approach this as is going strictly with a very inexpensive, very simple box camera. And for those of you who haven't ever shot one, I mean, it's just that. I mean, the Kodak used to make cameras out of boxes. Literally, they're made out of cardboard. And that's how they used to be back in the day. And you'd put a roll of film in there and shoot it. And the thing is there aren't any controls. You don't get to control shutter speed or exposure or, you know, any of that. Well, maybe you might have some slight minor controls, but that's really it. And what I've discovered, and I picked this up many years ago, is that you can really make some fantastic photographs with the simplest, most basic of cameras, with a simple meniscus lens, you know, nothing more than a curved piece of glass. And in many cases, these cameras can produce outstanding images. And I decided that's what I wanted to do. That's kind of my theme. I'm going frugal in that I mean that it's simple. I'm not going to, you know, look for some cheap camera with all kinds of features just because I got a great deal on it. I'm going frugal. I mean, these are literally the same approach that my grandmother would have taken 100 years ago using a simple box camera to take pictures of her cows and dogs. And I have some of those photographs. That's really what I'm going to approach it as. You know, I'm going to pick up the camera that really all I'm going to do is point and shoot. There's no automatic anything, there's no batteries required, there's no nothing. I think that's about as simple and as frugal as it gets. So that's where I'm at with the Frugal Film Project. I'm really looking forward to it, although I'm kind of getting a late start here. We're 9 days into the month of January, and I have yet to put film into my camera. But that's okay. It's looking like maybe tomorrow might be the day. We're going to see. With that, I'm going to stop here, and I'll be right back. All right, Matt. What's this camera that you're going to be using here, huh? I mean, it's simple and boxy. What's the big deal? Why would you want to use some simple, know-nothing camera that you can't really do anything with? That's pretty simple to answer. I want to use a camera that just allows me to look and take a photograph, and we're going to go from there. So, a couple weeks ago, I put out a poll on the Frugal Film Project's private group site on Facebook, so that's why no one else saw it. So basically, the members of the Frugal Film group gave their input, and I gave them three choices, and I let them vote, and they decided that the first camera that I'm going to use in 2020, or do we say 2020? Is it 2020 or 2020? I feel like we kind of need to get this figured out now. It'll bug me for a while. Maybe not. Anyway, what I'm going to use is the Ansco Flex 200. Not really. The Ansco Flex 2, basically it's a box camera, pseudo TLR. For those who don't know what that means, is that it's a fake TLR. TLR meaning a twin lens reflex. The thing is that you can't focus. You just looked at it. It's got a great big giant viewfinder. This thing is just a masterpiece of mid-century modern American design. This gray green finish, pressed metal. I mean, red button, a slider to open it up. Little film advance knob here that you twist. There you go. I mean, it's a beauty. It really is. Now, I've had this camera for, gosh, 5 or 6 years. I've only put a handful of rolls through it. Mainly because I got so many other cameras, and this one kind of always went on the shelf because, if there's a definition of a shelf queen, it would be the Ansco Flex 2, mainly because it's beautiful. Mid-century modern. If you don't know what that is, hit Google, and it's just this all forward modern looking design from really post-war into the early 60s. Things started changing there. So all kinds of wonderful objects, houses, cars. Think cars with wings. Think organic and angular designs at the same time. Those are the kind of the things that you look here. Now, I would tell you just to Google Ansco Flex. You can Ansco Flex 1 or Ansco Flex 2, either one. There's two cameras, obviously, 1 and 2. And you can get yourself an idea of what they look like. They're really just wonderful looking cameras. And that's what really drew my attention to this all those years ago. I was just like, oh my God, I have to have one of those. And I picked one up for maybe $40. Came with the box. I mean, I've the kit that I have is basically complete other than bulbs and film. It's got the flash, it's got, it's got the case, it's got the carrying case, it's got everything, the instruction manual, the whole schmear. Whoever had it before really kept it and loved it, which I can see why. They're just such cool things. Now then, I've talked a bit about the design. The design itself was completed or done by Benjamin Loewy, or excuse me, Raymond Loewy, Loewy. And this guy designed like old Studebakers, a Studebaker Avante. He designed Lucky Strike cigarettes. If you think of that iconic lucky strike with the circle, you know. Maybe somebody nowadays, people don't get a smoke, so, you know, people wouldn't recognize that. When I grew up, that was just an iconic thing. And so if you look him up, this guy designed all kinds of stuff, and it's pretty incredible. This camera itself was out in the mid-50s. I don't know the exact time frame when it ran, as far as manufacture goes, but you know, it is what it is. Mid-50s, so that came along before I was born. And it's got this really pale green, kind of steel gray color. A viewing lens and a shooting lens. The shooting lens is really small. It's a fixed focus. It's got a thing here where I can put a close-up lens or a gray, or excuse me, a yellow filter. One or the other, not both. Which is kind of, you know, different. The camera itself takes 620 film. Okay, what's 620? Okay, now you should probably know this, but 620 film is an old expired film format favored by Kodak. And Kodak basically wanted you to buy their film, so almost all Kodak cameras of that time frame that took roll film were 620 format. The thing is that there's a competing format out there called 120, which we also know as medium format. That's kind of the thing that it's called. But the thing is about it is, you know, the 620 and 120 film size, the film itself is identical. The size and the width and the length of the spools, it's all the same. The difference is the actual spools were a little bit different. On a 620, the film spool is just slightly narrower than the 120. I mean, we're talking millimeter, if that. I don't even think it's that much thinner. And the flanged edges, the flanged ends are wider on a 620 spool. No, on a 120 spool. So the thing is that you can't just drop a roll of 120 film into this and have it work because it just doesn't fit. There are some cameras that will take both. This is not one of them. It takes a 620 film spool. And the only way to use it is to make somehow an adjustment to your film spool. What I personally do, and what I found is easiest for me, is just to take and re-spool 120 film onto an old 620 reel. It's relatively simple, and I'm going to talk us through that here in the next segment. But this camera itself, a couple of other things I wanted to talk about. It's got this gray or silver door that slides up and down that opens up the viewfinder. You look down through the viewfinder. If you've ever looked through a TLR through the viewfinder, things are reversed right to left. So when you move the camera to your right, the image itself goes to your right, but you're looking to the left. So it's just kind of a weird mirror type of thing. The other thing that's kind of cool on this is the film advance. It's got this round dial with a lever in it, and you don't just twist it and roll it. You grab it and you push it back and forth. And basically you do that three or four times and it resets the shutter button, and then you can just snap it off. And you hear there, maybe you could. It resets the shutter button. You have to do it about three times to move it on to the next exposure. Has that little red window in the back so you can see what film count is. This takes 12 6x6 images. Very simple, very easy camera to use. And trust me, when you're out there using it, people will look at you sideways. They want to know what it is. So with that, I'm going to talk about respooling film. Okay, let's talk about respooling. And really what I'm talking about is taking the film off of the 120 spool and putting it onto the 620 spool. Like I said, the insides are identical in terms of measurement. It's the outsides that are different, and they're not compatible generally from format to format. Some cameras are. If you got a camera and you're not sure, drop a roll of 120 film in there and see if you can advance it That's the key. Sometimes you can get it to fit in there, but you can't get it to advance. It won't roll, or you can't close the camera back or things like that. Like I said, I'm familiar with this camera and I know that I need to use a 620 film spool. So consequently, whenever I buy cameras, I always make sure that I've got those type of film spools. I've got a decent collection of 620 spools. And I use them specifically to re-roll some 120 film onto them. And basically, it's something that I did. We had a spate of bad weather a few weeks ago, and I just sat in my camera den, computer room, the bunker, and rolled up some film. Now the thing is, you have to do it in a dark bag, in a changing bag. There cannot be any light exposing it because it will expose the film and ruin it. So I'm going to kind of walk you through that, but that's the most important thing. You've got to do it in a completely dark environment in that changing bag, in the dark bag. Now, what you need to do, it's really kind of a two-step process. And what I do is I take the film, and when you open up a roll of 120 film, you peel the paper off, and normally you would fit it onto a spool and run it through the camera. So you got a couple ways that you can do this. If you've got a camera that just allows you to spool forward, like an old box camera, you can actually just spool it forward. You want to spool it all the way through till you get to the end. Then take the end and manually start wrapping it around a 620 film spool. Again, this is the part that has to be done in the dark. It's got to be dark. I cannot stress that enough. It's got to be in an absolute dark bag. And then you just slowly roll it back. You'll come to the point where the film is. And from there, it's really important to be tightly wound. Go slow. Don't tear the edges of the film. Just go slow. What will happen? And trust me, this will happen. When you get to the end of the film where the film is taped to the backing paper, you will find there's going to be a crease or a fold simply because you can never get it to match up exactly right when you're re-spooling it. It's come loose. You're not going to get it as tight as it once was. So, what do? You've got a couple choices here. You can just leave it and not do anything. Trust me, that can work. I generally do that, because I've done it enough times where that crease or that bubble or that fold is very minimal and it doesn't really cause any great grief. If you've got a big bubble, is what I'll call it, and if you do this, you'll know exactly what I mean. You can gently try to peel the tape off of either the film or the backing paper, taking very careful care not to tear either of them. And then once you've got the tape off, you can just tape it right back on and then continue your roll. That's the other thing that some people would do. To me, I just generally don't mess with it because I make a very concerted attempt to keep that film spooled onto the reel very tightly, or reeled onto the spool very tightly. I don't know if that's correct or not. But anyways, that's what I do. And then once I'm done, unless I'm going to go right into the camera, I take a piece of aluminum foil, just a small piece enough to wrap it up. I put a piece of tape around it saying what it is. In this case, in my hand, I've got some HP5 rolled onto a 620. And let's see, it looks like it expires next year sometime. So I'm actually using fresh film, which is kind of an oddity for me. So, anyways, that's how you do it. It's something that you shouldn't be intimidated by. It's not that difficult. As is most everything that I talk about in film photography, nothing is that difficult. Seriously, if I can do this, anybody can. And I mean that as a jab against me, and also I want everybody to realize it's nothing to get stressed or worried about. You can do this. It's simple. So one other thing when it comes to using a 120 film in 620 cameras, there's another option that you can do with some cameras, and that is you can trim down the flanges of the 120 film spool. So I've got a plastic 120 spool in my hand. And, you know, there's this like crease around the outside edges. And people will take like some big toenail clippers or seriously strong clippers or trimmers and trim that down all the way around, all the way to the film. And that, in some instances, may allow you to use it. Not in all, because that spool itself is still just fractions of a millimeter longer than a 120. And what I'm going to do here, see if I can accomplish this. I won't be able to. I'll have to do it in another segment. But what you can do is then sand down the width of that spool itself. So let's see. Do I have a 620? No, they're all being used. That's what I suspected. Oh wait, there's one. Nope. Okay. So we'll do that here in the next segment. I'm going to measure them so you can see exactly how wide and what these differences of these film spools are. So, Matt, stop the recording. Stop. What? Huh? What? Stop. How? What? Okay, I'm back. I did some quick measurements. I've got a set of calipers here. Just thought I would measure this just for kicks and giggles. So, a 620 spool is 64 millimeters long. A 120 film spool is 65.5 millimeters. That 1.5 millimeter makes all the difference. Okay. The inside from the inner flange to the inner flange on both of them is, if I can get my thumb out of the way here, is 63 millimeters. They're both identical from the inside to the inside. So there you go. The other thing on the measurement of the film spool, the flange itself, is, let's see, 25 millimeters on a 120 and 23 millimeters on a 620. Those millimeters of differences, and I measured it that way just because that's, you know, you need that kind of precision. So for all of us Americans using the standard measurement, well, you'll just have to get out and to Google and do some comparison. But they're really minor micro differences, but it means that you can't use one object and the other. So that being said, I'm going to load up this roll of film. So to roll up and to load a roll of film to the Ansco Flex 2, you have to open the door so that you can see through the viewfinder. And there's this red dot. You know what they say? Don't press the red dot. Press the red dot. That opens up the film back. And when you open it up, you know, hey, here's the nice ad from the 50s. For best results, use 620 Ansco all-weather pan film. I guess HP5 we're just going to have to do. Now then, let me look through here because I haven't. Okay. I have a spool, an empty spool in here. And the take up is on the top. And let me make sure that's in. Yep. And the film itself drops into the bottom. So we're going to do this, and it just has a couple little pins that hold it in place, just keep it from moving around. And if I can get that one in there, there we go. Yeah, we're in good shape. So now, pull it up here to the top. Some people are good at this. I am not. I have these great big hands. And there we go. I'm going to put it right there. Come on, Matt. You can do this. You can do it. Oh, come on. Thankfully. There we go. There we go. I just want to make sure that it's, and this is no different than rolling up any other roll film. Just want to make sure that you're started there, and away we go. Close this door up. And mine has a little sticky, the button there kind of sticks a little bit. There we go. And now, back, forth, back, forth. Instead of spooling it, reeling it like you would a reel, you just go back and forth and it sort of ratchets it up. And now I'm just ratcheting until I see, whoa, there's my line. Looking for the number one. Come on here. It's advancing it very slowly. And I think I just passed the film. Yep, the film's coming up here. And yep, you can tell it's getting tighter. We're past the beginning of the backing paper. Sealed in there nice and tight. And we're getting there. Are we? Uh-oh. Something just happened. I don't know if I like that. Well, we're going to have to perform a surgery and see what happened there. So anyways, it's loaded up. I hope it's loaded up. It looks like we're ready to go. We're going to find out tomorrow and get out there and take some photos. So with that, I want to thank everybody for tuning back in. Sorry to be gone away for such a long time, but you know, it's wintertime. I wish you all the best for the year 2020 or 2020, whichever way you decide to go. Have yourselves a great day. Get out there and shoot some film photos. Don't want to steal from anybody else's podcast. Update, the film loaded fine.